Hello and welcome. My name is Kelly Plater.
I'm Julie Melberg.
And we are coming to you on behalf of Concordia's Advancing Women in Leadership Committee here at Concordia. It is our great honor and privilege today to be interviewing Michelle Labs, who is our Director of Student Health Services here at Concordia. So Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. Please start off by telling us more about your role here at Concordia.
Morning, Kelly, and good morning, Julie. First of all, thank you for inviting me to be a part of Advancing in Women Leadership podcast. It's a great honor to be with you guys today. As the Director of Student Health Services, I am responsible for the effective operation and management of my department, and that includes ensuring that we have the adequate resources and the appropriate procedures and protocols that they're in place so that we can provide good quality health services to our students. On a daily basis, I have to ask, do we have the tools that we need to do our job safely and efficiently, especially because there's not a lot of us doing that job with the limited resources we have. And I have to ensure that the clinical staff have the proper licensure, that the clinic has the proper licenses to function and keep abreast of the new laws and regulations regarding operations. So that's part of the management, but my role also involves actually seeing patients. So I do management and I'm a healthcare provider as well. So as a nurse practitioner, I see the students and conduct, assessment, diagnosis, treatment, and management of their illness. And we treat both physical and mental health issues here at the Wellness Center. The other thing that I do is working in collaboration with several departments on campus to provide a good student experience that would support the university's efforts on retention and graduation. That involves a lot of collaboration. And then I always say there's this last bullet point on most of our job descriptions that says other duties as assigned. I feel like that bullet point was placed there as a foreshadow of the pandemic, because there are so many things that all of us are doing beyond what we signed up for. And here we are doing all of those, performing all of those duties as assigned.
And you've been so instrumental in the COVID pandemic here at Concordia and keeping us healthy and safe. So thank you so much for your efforts there.
You're very welcome. Everyone plays a part. I play my role. You guys play your role. The students play their role. It's like, if we all do our part, then that's how we make this a success. So all of us playing a part together. It's hashtag CUI together.
That's awesome. I love that. And yeah, we do appreciate your role. And I know with my students, we say all the time that it takes a lot of us to keep it going. But I know that I appreciate and my students appreciate being on campus and the role you've done in that. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
As you kind of reflect on, what's led you to this role that you currently have at Concordia, do you have experiences from your past that have helped guide your leadership and that have kind of led you to where you are today that you would like to share with us?
You're a good question. Okay. As I think back on my journey, in order to advance on your leadership walk, you actually have to take the first step. And I think that's the hardest part, is taking that first step. Each step you take may be uncomfortable or scary or intimidating, but we have to tell ourselves that's okay. There has to be some discomfort in order to grow. I heard somebody say that if you are comfortable in how you are and in what you're doing, then you're not growing. So I didn't make that up, okay? I heard somebody smart say that. And since then, I would tell my kids or the young adults or the students or the professionals I'm mentoring that if you are interested in advancing your role, then be prepared to get out of your comfort zone and take that first step. I remember in my
first step can be scary. Yeah, the first step can be scary, right?
It is the scariest part of anything, is that first step. even with me, my very first year in college health, my boss back then here at Concordia sent me to this national conference attended by over 2,000 people. I know no one in that conference. He said, just attend it and network, learn from other institutions, because I was here on my own. I'm the only provider at the wellness center at that point, and learn from other institutions nationally. And so I went there, I attended. In one of the affiliate meetings, one of the previous board members spoke up and said, the best way to learn college health is to get involved. Take that first step and get involved. So before I left that conference, what did I do? I signed the interest form. The following year, I was elected as the treasurer of the affiliate, which is the Pacific Coast College Health Association, or PCCHA. And that covers the states in the Pacific Coast, like California, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Idaho. It's just up and down the state, plus Australia, New Zealand, Guam, Hawaii. Like, we cover all of those, right? So wow. I'm like, what did I get myself into? But like plugging along, I moved up the ladder. And then several years later, I was elected president of PCCHA. Was the journey easy and comfortable? No, it took a lot of work. I learned so much and networked and really met and learned from different professionals from different areas and different groups. So it's true, like I got involved and that's how I learned, but I wouldn't have done that without taking that first step and trying to be brave. It was so scary. It was so intimidating for me, but we all have to do that. I guess my point is, if to start a journey, you have to work up the courage to take that uncomfortable first step.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice.
So Michelle, what are some goals, or what is your vision for your role here at Concordia?
Oh, I don't know if I can think past the pandemic right now.
That could be your goal.
I can see the light, a very bright light at the end of the tunnel. There were things that we've learned. There were challenges that we've faced during the pandemic. But one of the good things that came out of it is developing and establishing relationships within Concordia and outside of Concordia. I would like to strengthen those partnerships. I've never worked so closely with athletics ever. I've always worked with them, but now we're like tight. You know, the different departments on campus and outside. We did not have that established relationship with the county. And now we're at the forefront. We're the leaders of representing higher ed in Orange County. So that, I'm really proud of that work, getting people together. Because if only one university is getting better and getting their cases down, we're all in the same community. We're not going to open up. So we all have to work together in order to drive the cases down as part of the community so we can all open up as fast and as soon as possible. So I guess that's what I want to do, is just strengthen those relationships.
I know you've been around Concordia for a little while now, but like you say, I think you've played a different role and you've been more visible to a lot of us who might not have known you as well before this pandemic has happened. Are there some things that you could tell us about yourself? Do you have any kind of hobbies that you'd like to share with us, or any kind of hidden talents or things like that, that those of us who don't know you as well might enjoy knowing about you?
Oh, I have no hidden talents. Oh, I have no talent at all. No, in terms of hobbies, though, and what I love doing, I love the outdoors. So So I enjoy hiking. When I tell my kids, hey, let's plan to go on a vacation. What are we going to do, Mom? We're going to go for a hike. I'm like, Mom, that's not vacation. That's hard work. I'm like, no, it's fun. Let's go on a hike. So I love those things. And one of the things that my family and I enjoy doing that we haven't really had the chance to do it much because of what's going on is fishing. So we love fishing, and I do. I do get seasick. And so I try to just fish with them at the harbor, for example. And then the best one is to do freshwater fishing because I'm on ground. So I can go through the river and get all my gear and the water right up to my chest. You know, I love that salmon fishing in Alaska. I can't wait to go back there. We try to go there every year to go fishing.
Oh, wonderful.
And we really
That's
enjoy
really
it.
Cool. So you've been to Alaska multiple times?
Yes. That's our go-to place. And we really go there for fishing. It's so, awesome. Yeah, my parents cannot understand that. Like, you really fish for fun?
It's so funny. So relaxing.
But yes, it is relaxing in the quiet, and you'll have the bald eagles flying around you. Just watch out for bears. But yes, it is something that we enjoy doing that grounds us and keeps us closer together. So. That's always
awesome.
Fun.
And you said you like hiking. Do you have a favorite local trail, like an Orange County hike that you love that you could share with us? Is there one that is like your happy place?
Yes, but if I tell you, all of you will go there and it won't be my happy place anymore. I'm
True.
Kidding. No. So I live in Orange, and in Orange, there's lots of hills and places to hike. It's really the one next door to my house. So I'm not on the hill. I'm on the bottom of the hill. And so I take my dogs out on a hike. So it depends on the time I have and the mood I am in. Do I do one hill, two hills, or three? I always like try and figure it out. But it's just the local. I don't drive anywhere. I just walk to it. And do it. It's in the El Medina open space. I don't know if you know that place, but it's really open area and the public doesn't really go. It's just the neighborhood. So now I'm going to see more people there.
Well, I'll wear Concordia shirts and see each other on the hiking
trail,
right?
It'd be like, why are all these Concordia people all of a sudden?
That's
so
awesome.
Michelle, can you tell us about your favorite book?
Okay, I love books. Even as far as way back as I remember, I've always enjoyed reading a book. And the one series that I really enjoyed, and it's been a while since Dan Brown published a sequel to that one, and I don't know if you will, is the Da Vinci Code series. That's actually the second book, right? People think it's the first book. But it's Angels and Demons, and then Da Vinci Code, and then there's a few more. It's just entertaining and thought-provoking. I always have to remind myself, this is fiction. Don't believe what they're saying. Although the locations are real, he makes you really believe, get into it that, oh, is that true? And I have to remind myself, no, this is fiction. Don't believe that. This is fiction. And I love it. So I recommend it. If you like mystery thriller, that's a good series to start.
I've read that one, and I know it's very enjoyable to read. So that's a great one. And the movie's not as good, I would also say. I don't know if you've seen the movie to the Da Vinci Code, but...
I'm biased. I always love the books.
Yes.
So when they turn it into movies, I critique it. I have to like step back and I'm like, no, they have to Hollywoodize it, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, they change stuff and I'm like, oh, it ruins it. It ruins it.
I agree. Do you have a favorite quote or Bible verse or motto which kind of guides your daily walk, either personally or professionally?
I do. And that is God provides. When I'm in my highs, in my lows and challenges, in my happy places, I always remind myself, and actually God with the beauty surrounding us reminds me that he's there and he's the one who provides. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says there, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. I mean, when in our prayers, even if the answer is no, there is an answer. Just because we didn't get what we asked for, it doesn't mean that God is not listening or that he didn't give us what we're asking for. When we pray, then he answers our prayers. Yeah, me and my husband would always say, don't worry, it always works out because God provides. And I think that really helped us be faithful and be humble to accept also that we are not in control of things and that God is ultimately in control.
So Michelle, if you could give your younger self advice, what would it be?
This is going to be so superficial. I wish someone taught me how to use a blow dryer early in life. Because I know we have women listening. I look back at my pictures when I was younger, like, were there no hair dryers back then? My hair, it's so frizzy and like all over the place. Did my mom not teach me how to do that? I mean, in everyday life, it's okay, but in important events, really? So I just thought I want to throw that in because I know that I've taught my daughter now how to use a blow dryer so she doesn't go through the path that I went through. Something superficial out there.
But it might be that later she asked you why her hair was so straight, right? She might say, like, I wanted my hair to be so curly or something. You know? I love it. I absolutely love it. So I know you have a daughter. And so I think that one of the things that a lot of us think about a lot, or not necessarily struggle with, I don't want to say, but that is kind of hard sometimes, is our work-life balance. And especially when we're managing a career and children on the home front, being a mom, being an employee. So is there a time in your past at some point that has changed kind of how you approach work-life balance, or that has helped you maintain a better work-life balance? Any suggestions or advice for all of us listening out there?
When definitely starting a family, when I was single, I would work, and as a nurse, right? I would work night shifts. I would work multiple jobs because 12-hour shifts times 3 days, that's a full-time job. What do I do the rest of the week? Shop, you know, 4 days of days off. But when I started a family, that's when my career path took a different turn. I looked at, what am I doing here in the hospital on night shifts, working nights and weekends and holidays and missing the important events of my family? I'm not saying that everyone should get out of the hospital and get out of that. But for me personally, that's when I looked at options and career where I would like to take my professional skills and education. And that's when I started shifting towards school nursing. So from hospital nursing, I went to becoming a school nurse. So I was a school nurse for K through 12. And then before I came to Concordia as a college health nurse, that's where I found the right balance so that I could still be a professional and yet have time to be a mom and a wife. And it doesn't pay as much, so you have to give up something in return. So we have an agreement at home. It's not always the money. It helps, of course, but there's something more valuable, which is family time. And less stress. I don't know if I can say it's less stress now where we are, but this is temporary and we will go back to eventually having actual days off. And I think it's really important to have that balance in your career and family life. Because as women, right, I'm not being sexist. I think it's called being stereotypical. We work during the day. When we get home as a wife and mom, the laundry is still there. The dishes are still there. We still have to take the kids to the sporting practice, to sporting events. We have our partner. I mean, my husband is so great and understanding. We work together, but he understands that there are things he can do well and the things that I can do well. And the household chores is better done by me. and other stuff. And I know that there are other things that he can do better than I do, than I can. But I do believe that there is a way to be able to have a good work-life balance. And you just have to pick the right path for you and prioritize what you want out of your career and your personal life.
I think that's great advice. And we appreciate you so much sharing your story and all these different tips and just fun facts about yourself. So thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to meet with us today and sharing your journey.
Thank you so much for having me here. Be safe.
This has been Concordia University Irvine's Advancing Women Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day.